step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Well, welcome to the March 23rd, 2015 edition of Dr. Number 14's Best Best Health Show. I'm Dr. Number 14, and sorry if we're doing a Monday show, but I had to play catch up and watch things like Pretty Little Liars, the season finale, or the penultimate episode before the season finale, and other shows like Felix, and 12 Monkeys, so as well as the iZombie premiere. So I'm all set, but we have great news, so let's play our theme song to this show because we have great news to impart to the fans. Here we go. Sleepy Hollow has been renewed for an 18-episode Season 3 by Fox. Fox has renewed mystery adventure series Sleepy Hollow for a third season. It was announced on actually March 18th. I believe that was Wednesday, by David Madden, president of entertainment of Fox Broadcasting Company. Television producer Clifton Campbell has signed on as executive producer and showrunner. Sleepy Hollow is truly inventive television. The talented producers led by Alex, Bob, Len, and Heather, along with the brilliant cast anchored by Nicole and Tom, have created a fantastic world that brings history to life with compelling and vibrant storytelling, said Madden. I had the pleasure of working with Clifton on both The Glades and White Collar. White Collar, I really like. He is an excellent producer, and we can't wait to see what this team has in store for Season 3. So, all my shows got renewed, all of them. Arrow, Flash, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries. Once Upon a Time is probably guaranteed to come back. What else? Grimm. Grimm has been picked up. Constantine hasn't, but that wasn't really a fave of mine. But Sleepy Hollow, Gotham, just a whole mess of shows that I watch continuously. So, yeah, this has made my day. As I said before, the only one that hasn't gotten renewed was Constantine, but that wasn't a fave of mine. Okay, so without further ado, we have a lot to talk about. 15 shows. iZombie. Let's review iZombie, episode 101, the pilot. It was a little bit lower than the 100 premiere, which was set at 0.9. This was 0.8 with 2.29 million viewers. Actually, I like the premise. Liz is becoming a doctor. She interns at a hospital. She has a fiance, Major, and Marcy, her fellow intern, invites her to a party aboard a ship. A zombie outbreak occurs, and she's scratched, and she becomes a zombie. Now, 5 months later, she is a zombie working at a morgue. I like the name Liv as opposed to Dead. She broke off her engagement to Major, and she now eats brains of corpses because she has access to them. And her friend basically is there to help her out. He's trying to find a cure for her condition. But when she eats the brains of corpses, she has memories of her victim. So Tatiana is killed, and she finds out that she was a call girl along with another friend, Monica, who now is in danger. So basically, to make a long story short, basically Pratt, Detective Pratt, is the one that has abducted these girls. And so she's ready to eat Pratt's brain, but this other detective comes along and she stops herself. And so at the end of the tale, she says she can contribute. She has a reason to give, and she sleeps soundly for the first time since she's been back as the undead. And then she sees a man on a boat turning into a zombie too, one of the ones that were at the party. So this might be the recurring villain of the storyline, but I just like the whole premise of the storyline with Liz. So, yeah, 2 thumbs up. Not sure if it's going to make the grade, but they seem to have exciting stories and to have a female, so to speak, superhero turning undead zombie. It's pretty cool. Okay, this brings us now to our Sunday night lineup, Once Upon a Time and Walking Dead. Once upon a time, and this was last week's, though I did see last night too. Episode 415, Enter the Dragon. It did drop in the ratings from a 2.1 to a 1.8, but it has since stabilized. So don't worry, Once Upon a Time is coming back with 5.88 million viewers. So Regina wants to join the bad girls, so she's going undercover. Meanwhile, secondary storyline of Rumpo transporting the queen to Maleficent's domain, and she finds that Maleficent is in horrible shape, and she wants to give up, and Maleficent tells Regina to leave, and Maleficent can't turn into a dragon anymore. So Regina wants to help her to get her fire back. Regina shows her the burning tree, and Maleficent takes the flames into herself, and King Stefan and his troops come, but she can't change into a dragon. So Regina and Maleficent are taken by Stefan, but Regina frees herself and uses magic. And then Maleficent changes into a dragon, attacks Stefan, and then Maleficent goes to Aurora's room, the one who's going to marry Prince Philip, and puts her under a sleeping curse. And so she's regained her mojo, and then Regina returns to Rumpo. Fell on the horse, so she's learned from Maleficent and wants to do the same thing for Snow. So she's finally ready to learn with Rumpelstiltskin. In the new time frame, Regina tells David and Mary Margaret that one of the sheriff's cars was burned up pretty bad when Maleficent went on a rampage. And Maleficent tells Regina that they are after the author to shift the balance so all villains have a happy ending and the heroes don't. So they're going after Pinocchio, and Regina puts Pinocchio to sleep and gives him to Maleficent. And what happens is the trio take Regina to Gold's cabin, and she sees Gold with the dagger because now what happens is the Hook slash Rumpo has assumed the form of Hook. He gets the dagger from Belle. And so Gold uses the dagger, and he converts Pinocchio to August, who will help them learn about the author, which was predictable. My significant other said, oh, wouldn't it be nice if August comes back in the storyline? And sure enough, it ends with August returning. which was, I thought, pretty cool. Okay, now on to Walking Dead, episode 514, done. And it did drop a little bit in the ratings from a 7.3 to a 7.0, but still with 13.78 million viewers. So let us review our Walking Dead storyline and then, or our theme song, and then we'll review the stuff. So in this one, Glenn goes with Aiden, Deanna's son, and Noah to find some parts, and Eugene identifies the components they need, but zombies get out in the process, and Aiden is impaled on a metal pole, and the zombies feed on him. Tara experiences a head trauma from an explosion, which unexpectedly occurs. And what happens is, Eugene protects Tara. He carries her out shooting the zombies. They can't free Aiden, so Aiden has his guts torn out. While this is going on, Abraham saves Francine from a zombie attack as well. He risks his own life and savagely attacks the zombies, mowing them down with the machine gun. And he saves Francine, and then he assumes command of the construction crew to get more metal for the walls. Deanna will make it official that he will lead the construction crew. Meanwhile, Glenn is trapped in a revolving door with zombies, and Eugene gets the van to lead the zombies away, but Noah gets it because one of the crew starts to panic, one of Deanna's crew, and that one is Nicholas, who panics. And so what happens is Noah is fed on by the zombies as a result. And Glenn, Eugene, Nicholas are affected as they take the van with the Tara back to the compound. And then Gabriel talks to Deanna at the end and says Rick and his group are not good people, says they can't be trusted, and the day will come when they put their lives first. And Deanna thanks him, and she has a lot to think about. And Carol says, Rick is going to have to kill Pete. Pete wants to be his friend, but Rick realizes that Pete has been abusing Jesse. And so all things are going to come to a head in the next episode. I'm well aware because I saw that episode last night. So, yeah, can't wait to see the final two episodes. Well, I did see the episode last night, the cliff for season 5. Okay, this brings us to the Monday night viewing of the following, Bates Motel and The Return. So let's play our following theme song and then let's review it. Here we go. Now, one of the things that, unfortunately, I don't like for the following, because I'm really not interested in seeing a season 4 of the following. It's not doing very well in the ratings either. It matched its series low from the previous week of 1.1 with 3.51 million. The only reason I like the results of the following is I believe it saves Sleepy Hollow from getting axed, because Sleepy Hollow got a 1.4 or 1.5 average. The following is getting a 1.1 with Kevin Bacon, who I'm sure they're paying an arm and a leg for. So I think the following's demise is Sleepy Hollow's game. But you can call me up And argue with me on that. 646-200-0232. In this week's edition of the following, Ryan Hardy is reeling, being affected after his friend Jeff Clark's death. He hears Gwen calling from a box because, if you remember, Jeff was his joints were all broken and squeezed in a box, and then he wakes up. And Ryan answers press questions and says he's going after Mark. Meanwhile, Neo's dad is wandering down the street looking for his wife. He has dementia, and Neo is the one that put Jeff Clark in the box, takes him back inside. And Neo blames his nurse for this, so he holds her hostage. And basically, Neo's associate gives Ryan, Mike, and Max an email address. And Neo has Louise tied up, and he's ready to kill her. But Ryan gets to Neo's store, Max frees her, but they lose Neo. So he heads back home and takes his dad with him, and they take off. And Neo's dad has a GPS tracker on him that Ryan can trace because of his senility. So Neo and dad are at an outdoor festival. Neo yanks off the tracker, but the dad sees Neo kill an innocent as they're trying to secure a vehicle. And the distraught dad yells out, and Neo leaves in the car. A chase ensues. Neo is caught, and they have to shoot him dead. Then Ryan wants Gwen to move in with him. She tells him no more secrets between them. So Max goes home then, but Mark is inside, and then her friend comes over, so she never leaves the apartment. So Mark, Kyle, and Daisy are inside wiring the place up. Ooh, I liked it. I don't like the new killers. There was something about Joe that was much more mature. Mark is just plain psychotic. And I don't like Kyle and Daisy particularly, so the serial killers really don't interest me all that much. Okay, what about Bates Motel, episode 302, the Arcanum Club? Well, it dropped a little bit down in the ratings from 0.9 to a 0.8 with 1.912 million viewers. Okay, so Norma sees Annika's car the next day, and that's the girl that did not come home with Norman, but no, Annika is in the motel room, and Norman doesn't know where she is. So Norma finds out that Norman drove Annika into town to the bar. So she's offered to, and so Norman says he offered to drive her car back. That's all. And Norman tells Mom he's going to be dating Emma, and she's definitely okay with that. And the sheriff's home is ready to move back into, so the sheriff meets Norma, and they hug, and she tells him she always felt safe when he was there. So Norman goes out with Emma on their first date, and Emma talks about having sex with Norman. But then he says it's too soon, and he leaves, but he's still interested in Emma. Meanwhile, Norma poses as Annika to get into the Arcanum Club because Annika had an invitation to the party. But she doesn't know the password, so she's denied entrance. And Norma sneaks onto the property, spies on men having sex, and then the sheriff is there and tells her to get out. And Norma tells him that Annika might be dead, so sheriff will check it out. As I said before, Norman had fun with Emma. They kiss passionately, but he stops. So looks like he's not going to be doing it with Emma quite yet. Or if he does do it with Emma, he probably will kill her. And then they find Annika's body. There's this dog at the end with the boy, and the dog is barking. They find Annika's body found in a swamp. Ooh, the plot thickens. So, yeah, Bates Motel is moving at a nice clip. I really like the return, even if it's a rendition of the French version of the series. So episode 102, Simon, it did take a drop in the ratings from a 0.6 to a 0.4 with 1.082 million viewers. So 6 years ago, Simon was planning on marrying Rowan, and he had sex with her on the wedding day, and she tells him she's pregnant. But then he never showed up for the wedding because he really doesn't want the kid. So in the present day now, we find that Rowan is getting married to the sheriff, Tommy, who's notified of the attack on Lucy, so he investigates. And meanwhile, Lena is having a difficult time with Camille's return, and Lena recognizes Simon from an old photo in the bar, and she was with him. Then the manager is interrogated about Tony, is interrogated about Lucy, and says he didn't do it, but he's obviously hiding something. Simon does go to the library where Rowan works, and he sees her, and she talks to him, and she says Simon will always be a part of her life, and says she's glad he's back. But then Simon disappears, but the cops take him in. And Camille is going a little bit nuts. She's trashed Lena's room and then leaves, and Claire is distraught and calls her ex, Jack. And she looks for Camille in her car, and Camille is at the bar. And then her mom finds her, and she tells her mom that Hunter doesn't even recognize her anymore, so Claire holds her. Meanwhile, Simon is at the police station, but according to the records, he died 6 years ago. So Tommy locks Simon up. Meanwhile, Victor makes a drawing with markers as Julie draws a bat. He puts in a water vortex, and it looks like the whole town is being sucked. While Julia steps into a bath, and we see the marks of her attack on her body, just like Lucy. So it looks like she was attacked, too, by this killer, but survived. So a lot of the French version has gone into this so far. So I'm waiting to see the new direction that they take. But so far, it's a pretty good rendition of the French version. Okay. Pretty Little Liars, episode 524, the episode right before the cliff. I'm a good girl, I am. Received a 0.9, which was even with previous week with 1.698 million viewers. So let us play our Pretty Little Liars theme song, and then we'll
read. Got a secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you say. Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. In a show you that I know you won't tell what I said. Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
So the trial proceeds with Allie. Leslie Stowe, Mona's girlfriend, badmouths Allie on the stand, and the girls too. And then Aria gets a box, and an animal tongue is inside. You know, stop wagging your tongue or whatever. Or this is directed at Mike. So Aria asks Ezra to get Mike to his cabin. And Caleb tells him that Mike has to speak up so that she can get out of prison. So Caleb shows up at Ezra's cabin and wants Mike to come back with him. But Mike takes Ezra's car and leaves. Caleb and Ezra find the car with an arrow smashed in the windshield. So they search for Mike, and they're fired upon by all these arrows, and Mike seems to be on the run, and he's maced, and then they find Mike tied up to a pole. They free him, but Caleb takes a pic with his cell phone of Mike being tied, and then they bring Mike to the police station. Meanwhile, Allie is put on the stand to testify, and then the jury deliberates, and they find her guilty of murder in the first degree. And then the detective decides to arrest Aria, Emily, and Spencer, too. Now all the liars are in prison. My God, what is happening? Don't know, but what a mess, I would say, you know? So, okay, this brings us to the Tuesday night lineup, besides our zombie, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode 213, One of Us. It did pick up a little bit in the ratings from a 1.5 to a 1.6 with 4.34 million viewers. Cal, Skye's father, is recruiting all these mutants, these gifted ones, to create a legion of villains, if you will. So he recruits Carla Gideon. And these are former individuals which S.H.I.E.L.D. had restrained, and now they've been given their freedom. And so Carla is in. And while this is going on, Skye is put on an index, and she needs to be evaluated by none other than Dr. Garner, who's Maze, Agent Maze X. And so Andrew is going to basically be psychologically evaluating her. So Andrew talks to Skye, and Skye loses control as she sleeps, and Andrew asks what she was dreaming about but gets no answer. He tells her to face her pain, and Skye says that's not TURC. It says it's not TURC causing the tremors, interestingly. Meanwhile, Bobby and Kosen go to the facility where it looks like Cal has found another recruit, David Engar, and he can induce catatonia with just a whisper. So they head to Manitowoc, Wisconsin in an RV, Cal and his group, and they go out on the football field, and David induces yells, and everyone falls asleep. And so Maeve flies the bus to where Kosen is, and Kosen and Bobby hear Cal announcing on the speakers that his group is against S.H.I.E.L.D. So Phil Kosen gets out on the field, but Maeve brings Sky out at gunpoint, and Cal wants to help Sky. But a mutant comes and transports Cal away. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. battles Cal's group, and they get the upper hand. And again, Sky gets control over her powers, but she passes out because it looks like what's happening is she's directing her powers inward. And Maeve tells Andrew that Sky is safe with them, and Andrew then leaves. Meanwhile, Mac releases Hunter, and Mac says he's working for the real S.H.I.E.L.D., which is very interesting. So more on that. It isn't the Hydra group that Mac and Bobby are working for. And then Cal sees who abducted him, too. So a lot more stuff is going to be happening on S.H.I.E.L.D. in the weeks that follow. And I'm really pleased to see how S.H.I.E.L.D. is really taking off, I must say. So I've been impressed with it. So, okay, this brings us now to the superhero dose of Flash and then Arrow. And on Flash, oh my God, both episodes were great, but Flash, especially Flash, episode 115, Out of Time. It dropped from a 1.5 to a 1.3 rating with 3.69 million viewers, but still the highest rated show on the CW. 1 year ago, Clive Martin gets on a plane as he flees Joe West, and Mark Martin, his brother, is flying the plane, and then the particle accelerator explodes, blowing up the plane, exposing both of them, and now both of them can control the weather. So in the present, Mark Martin appears in the coroner's office and wants to know who shot Clive. And Mark tortures the coroner until he figures out. And he was killed by a hail ball, according to Barry. And it's also revealed that he informed that Joe killed Clive. So while Barry is racing, he sees another Flash alongside of himself, which is very interesting. And Eddie does not like Iris interacting with Barry. He's not okay with it. Well, with a series of attempts on Joe's life, first Martin sends a lightning bolt down to Joe's car. The car explodes, but Barry gets Joe out in time. And then Cisco has developed the wizard's wand to suck the weather turbulence from the sky, like a lightning rod, to incapacitate or to make impotent the weather wizard, Mark Martin. And Martin then shows up at the precinct, confronts Joe, and he attacks Joe. And Flash uses the wand and points it at the sky and makes Mark impotent. And he flees, but the captain took the blast that was meant for Joe, so Flash takes the captain to the hospital, and they're not sure if he'll ever walk again, which is sad. And then Joe tells Barry to keep Iris safe. And Iris tells Barry that Linda is not the right one for him. And then while this is going on, Cisco sees Reverse Flash. He's playing the video back, and Wells is there. Meanwhile, Joe is sucked out of the apartment that Martin was at. He's cuffed with a broken leg, and Martin contacts Iris and tells her to go to the waterfront. So Barry accompanies her. And while this is going on, Wells confronts Cisco. Wells says he's Thawne, the Eobo Thawne, and Eddie is a distant relative of his, and he can create after images of himself because he can operate at super speed. And he never wanted to kill Barry's mom, Nora, but he wanted to kill Barry instead. And he's been stuck here for 50 years, and he wants to return to his future world And basically, that's why he wants Barry super speed to get him back to his time. And then he puts his hand in Cisco and he kills him. Oh. Meanwhile, Barry kisses Iris, and then Mark creates a typhoon, a tsunami, and Barry has to create a vortex. And he has to reveal his powers to Iris. And he goes super speed to do this, to create a countercurrent, a counterforce to ward off the typhoon that's going to hit Central City. But then he transports through time, and that's where we leave it. Wow. A lot of things happening. Cisco dying, Barry revealing Iris, his secret identity, all of that. Wow, wow, wow. So now this brings us to Arrow, episode 316, The Offer. And it did drop a little bit in the ratings from a 1.1 to a 0.9 with 2.56 million. So Roz wants Oliver to be the next Ra's al Ghul, dines with Oliver. Meanwhile, Thea gives Nyssa her sword back and releases her, but Nyssa says there's no justice in killing her. So Roy zaps her to restrain her. Meanwhile, Roz shows Oliver the Lazarus pit, and Roz says Oliver already was victorious over death. He didn't need the pit. And Oliver asks what if he refuses, and Roz says he's free to leave with Big and Malcolm. So Oliver leaves, and Roz returns, Oliver returns Malcolm to Thea so that he can heal. And Oliver releases Nyssa and tells her to go home. Meanwhile, robbery commences, so Arrow, Arsenal, and Black Canary stop it from happening. But the crew, along with this leader, Michael Amar, Murmur, who has his lips sewn shut, get away with Diamond. And what happens here is Oliver tells Big about the offer and says he's considering it, and he says the Arrow isn't enough. And then Oliver also tells Malcolm, and Malcolm says that there's a prophecy. The man who survives Roz's blade will become Roz. Then we find out what Murmur's real plan is. He's making diamond bullets to shoot the police. And so they head toward the station, and Murmur is shooting police at the precinct. And Murmur starts choking Lance, but he gets Arrowed, and Nyssa, Arsenal, and Laurel fight, and Arrow knocks out Murmur. And Oliver is not ready to give up on what they're doing. And so what happens is Oliver tells Maffeo he's not accepting the offer. Meanwhile, Laurel befriends Nyssa, and Thea visits Roy, and she hugs him, and they get intimate. And then at the end, we see Roz assuming Arrow's identity. Now, there's one other big thing in this, too, that in the past, Oliver sees Shadow alive in Hong Kong. So this doesn't make much sense. So what is going on there? We don't know. Okay. Other things in the Wednesday night lineup, Supernatural and then Vampire Diaries on Thursday night. So Supernatural, episode 1015, The Things They Carried. And it dropped in the rating from a 0.8 to a 0.6 with 1.73 million viewers. So let's play our Supernatural theme song and then let's review. Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, all these military people have changed when they've come back on their assignment. And basically, they're thirsty for water, and they start killing people. So the Winchesters find that her friend, Jenna, said her husband, Kit, has changed too after coming back from his deployment. He's been out all night, and he's been thirsty. And then Cole sees the Winchesters and wants to help them and also find Kit. So Kit goes to the smart, starts drinking excessively, cuts the man's throat with the wine bottle, and starts slurping up the blood on the floor. And Kit was supposed to be rescuing a POW in Iraq, Major Matt Jones. And Rick was supposed to, Rick Willis was supposed to be with him, with both of them too. And apparently the major had transferred a worm to them, a con worm. And Cole is attacked by Kit, and he swallows the con worm from Kit's mouth, and Kit takes off, and Cole has the worm inside of him. So the Winchesters think they can electrocute Cole to get the worm out, but Dean shocks him with no effect, and Cole wants to keep on getting zapped, but Dean refuses. So Sam thinks it's a new species of worm, so Sam is going to pursue Kit. And Cole is thirsty. It's like a parasite, so Dean reasons he needs to dry Cole out. While this is happening, Kit returns home. Jenna finds him. Gemma finds him. He attacks her, and Sam knocks Kit out. And Dean dries the place out by starting a raging fire. Cole is dehydrated, and Cole drinks water, but Dean stops him. And Cole lunges for him, but then the worm comes out, and Dean stops it. Meanwhile, Kit frees himself and attacks Sam, but Sam has no choice but to shoot him. So Sam apologizes to Cole for killing Kit, but Cole understands and thanks Dino at the end of the episode. It was a neat thing, just a standalone episode, but it was good that they brought Cole back. Now on Vampire Diaries, episode 617, I really like this one, A Bird in a Gilded Cage. It went up a little bit in the ratings from a 0.6 to a 0.7 with 1.59 million viewers. So let's review Vampire Diaries now. Here we go. So Damon is angry that Stefan turned out to humanity, and he thinks that if Stefan is told about their mom still alive in the prison world, Lillian, it might flip his switch. So Damon needs Bonnie and Kai both to get into the prison world of 1903. So Kai, Bonnie, Damon, and Elena travel to 1903. Damon meets his mom, and she tells them her story. A coven of witches imprisoned her, and she had to ration her blood. And she's told about Stefan, and she will help, but she also has to tell her companion. And these are all vampires that were also trapped, and they saved her from being a ripper, because her friend sacrificed their rations for her, so she was able to control her bloodlust. And so while this is going on, Bonnie and Kai are looking for the Ascendant, but it's really with the mom all along. Bonnie's not really looking for the Ascendant. She stabs Kai in the back, and he disappears, but she wants to kill him or at least not take him back to their world. Elena gets the Ascendant. They give it to Bonnie. She starts the spell. And Damon smashes the last of the blood. But Lily says she won't leave her family, and Damon gets her. They trap Kai in the world. And then Lily returns to our world with the others. Meanwhile, Stefan has this fight with Caroline because he wants her to let go completely of pure humanity. She stakes him. And then Stefan gets Caroline to feed on a human, and they get intimate. Finally, woo! Meanwhile, Kai is choked by one of Lily's friends, vampire friends, in that prison world. And then Bonnie gives Damon the cure of vampirism that she found on this island, so he can give it to Elena if he wants to. Wow. Big stuff happening on Vampire Diaries. Okay, so this brings us to the Friday night lineup of Grimm, 12 Monkeys, and two episodes of Helix to play catch-up. So a lot of stuff happening on Friday night. Grimm, episode 414, Bad Luck. It was the same. It matched the ratings for its last airing, 1.1 with 4.0 million viewers. So let's play our Grimm theme song, and then let's review it. Here we go. Oh, That wasn't the theme song to season three. So in this one, Juliet changes into a hexen beast, and Nick sees it, and she was scared to tell Nick, and Juliet said it's permanent according to Henrietta. And so Nick sees Henrietta, and she says there's no cure for Juliet. And then Juliet, by the end of the episode, forces Nick to kiss him in her ugly form. He can't do it. And so she leaves. Meanwhile, Adeline visits Henrietta, and she tells Adeline she's going to have another baby, and it's Nick. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. And the other story is about a boy, Peter Bennett, who gets intimate with the girl, and they hear sounds, and they stop. And the girl heads home, and the boy hears music from an accordion. And this is a lesson with an axe. And Peter gets hit with the axe, and his foot is chopped off. And the kid dies by the time the paramedics get there. And then this couple visit the axe-wielding Wesson, and they pay him some money, and they get Peter's foot. And the couple have intercourse with the rabbit's foot under the bed. So Nick finds out that the foot is supposed to bestow fertility on a couple. So Rosalie and Monroe pose as a couple to go to this fertility center to see if they can get any information from one of the Wesson doctors. And they meet up with Dr. Redfield, who they tell him about the rabbit foot practice, but he's appalled. But the nurse can help them for $10,000. And Rosalie ups it to $15,000, so the hunter will have a fresh cut for them tonight. So Rosalie punches the nurse out, and Nick interrogates her, and she gives him the address of the previous couple that paid off the Wesson. So while that's going on, the hunter takes Chloe Bennett, the sister of Peter who died, to his cabin. And Nick gets the address of the cabin in the woods from the other couple, and the Wesson is ready to cut Chloe's foot off. But Nick and Hank arrive, and Chloe is tied up, and Nick and Hank fight the Wesson, but Chloe hits him and stabs his foot, and then they have no choice but to shoot him. And so, yeah, and I like the whole fairy tale about the rabbit's foot and getting lucky and becoming fertile and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty good. Okay, this now brings us to the two new shows, 12 Monkeys. Oh, I should also mention 12 Monkeys has been picked up for. Not so with Helix yet, and I'm not sure if it will, but 12 Monkeys is by far the better show. Episode 110, Divine Move. Well, in 2043, the core is functioning perfectly, and Ramsey steals something and torches the room. And Ramsey of the control center. In 2043, Ramsey sees Elena and Sam at the camp, and he took these injections, what code needs to splinter, and these apparently stabilize him. And so code tells Jones where Ramsey's is, and he provided he's not killed. And Ramsey confronts the No Women and sees the image of the 12 Monkeys, and their leader comes to him. And she knows him and Cole, and she knows who started it, the whole plague. And the witness knows, and she gives Ramsey a medallion, and she says, today something is going to happen. And then what happens is Elena is shot by one of Jones's men as they go to the camp looking for Ramsey. And Sam is there crying, and Ramsey returns planning something. Meanwhile, in 2015, Cole is back and says the virus is still out there. Dr. Peters, the man who made it, is alive. Cassie finds his journal, and it contains the recipe of the plague. And so Cassie tracks Peters by the animals required for experimentation. And she tracks a monkey shipment. And Cassie and Aaron go to the storage containers. And Cassie finds the designated one. And the person is inside, slumped on the floor, Dr. Peters, and says the virus was reconstituted and taken away. And they want, and Dr. Peters wants Cassie to shoot him, but Cassie tells him to leave instead. And Aaron runs into a woman who says Dr. Rayleigh is important to them. Meanwhile, back in 2043, Ramsey goes back to the facility, hands the container with the injection, but knocks the guys out and shoots the men in the control room and holds a gun on Jones and sets an explosive to destroy the core. But Max gets a gun, she gets shot and dies, and then Jones manages to take the bomb safely away from the core. They contain Ramsey in the control room, but he injects himself and then gets the scientists to send him back to 1987, where it all started. And so Cole is injected too, and he needs to go to 87 to find the source of the plague, and he's promises he's going to kill Ramsey. Wow, lots of stuff happening there. Okay, this finally brings us to the two episodes of Helix that I wanted to talk about, because a lot of things are happening in Helix. Episode 209, Ectogenesis. Alan has a visit from his dead friend, Doreen, and she tells him to wake up. By the way, it got a 0.19, not doing as well as 12 monkeys, obviously, with only 547,000 million watching. Meanwhile, the remaining members of the Abbey convene, and Amy says the old ways are done and not to embrace Anne, her mother. And Amy asks them to join her, and they do. But Anne is not going down without a fight. And Julia is on the island now with Sergio, and they need to contact Michael. And then Amy threatens Sarah's newborn unless she's given immortality, and a spinal tap is going to do it. So while this is going on, Julia meets Peter and Anne, and they take her and Sergio inside the Abbey. And Julia tells them a new strain of Narvik is going to be released by Ilaria in 4 days and wants Michael's infertility research. And this seems the best way, besides just killing a mass number of people, making people infertile. Meanwhile, the CIC and the Marines are in the woods, and they're trying to find the red tree sap, which is the cure for the pathogen. And Kyle is knocked out by a kid, Soren. And Kyle awakens, and this woman greets him in the hut and offers him food with eyeballs, but the man prevents the woman from cutting out his eye, and they have body parts hanging all over the place. And Kyle sees Soren has fluid from the bleeding tree. And Soren says it prevents them from getting more sick so that they can eat people that they trap. Meanwhile, Sarah is having Amy withdraw her spinal fluid, and Amy wants the spinal tap done on Langtree first. And if it's successful and it makes him immortal in 3 to 4 days, then it's going to be given to her. Well, Langtree is given the spinal tap, but he's in pain. And he mutates, and Amy locks Sarah in with Langtree as he convulses. Meanwhile, Julia is told about Mother. It's a tree that absorbs the fungus, and its grass and offshoots make men infertile. And Julia would like to see it, but Mother is gone from the safe that they keep it in. So Kyle gets loose and escapes, drinks some of the honey that the couple had so that they find him, so that then they can't kill him if he's infected. But now he's sick along with them, and the Marines shoot the couple, and now they need to find the tree, or Kyle is going to be dead. And the tree is in the woods with the red sap dripping from it. So finally, the last episode to be reviewed today is Helix, episode 210, Mother. Julia says she can make Amy immortal. She gets the mother's root, but of course she's lying. The Marines have Soren, and Kyle has 48 hours until he gets totally infected. And so Soren knows where the bleeding tree is. Meanwhile, Langtree is barely alive. His entire face is mutated. He attacks Sarah, drags her outside, then takes off and goes to the bell tower and finds a container with the root inside. And then Julia meets up with Sarah and tell Sarah what Ilaria is going to do, and everyone will be lost in this outbreak. But Sarah cares too much about her baby. And so Soren leads Alan and the others to the tree, but then Kyle starts losing it. And then Sarah brings Julia to her baby and tells Julia that Alan is the father, and the container with the baby is leaking. So now they decide Sarah and Julia to work together. And Amy attacks Sergio, then licks his wound. She's totally nuts. And then the ship the Marines were on is compromised. They've all become infected, and the Marines hear it via radio. And then Soren frees Kyle, and Kyle takes the boy away. Meanwhile, Julia and Sarah figure out that Sarah has mature cells that could not be transferred with the spinal tap. And Julia had stem cells. She just was immortal for a couple days. And so that could be transferred to her immortality. So they figured that out. Meanwhile, Anne takes Peter under the Abbey, turns off the light, and asks Peter what he wants, and says he wants respect. And when he was sick with Narvik, that's when they all listened to him. And Anne opens the door and offers her hand to him, and he takes it. And she leads him down to Peter, down to a room full of bodies. And there's the bearers of Michael's children. And Peter decides to kill one of the bearers, slits her wrist, while Anne cuts the cord and gives him the baby. Meanwhile, Sergio is attacked by Lantry up in the bell tower, and Lantry falls to his doom. And then Amy pushes Sergio off the tower, too, and she now has the root, mother's root. And what happens at the end is Kyle is ready to kill Soren, but Alan reasons with him, and he lets Soren go, and they find the tree, which is the cure. And then Julia, which is very strange, wants to implant Sarah's fetus into Amy's uterus so that the baby can survive. Wow. So a lot of stuff is happening on this show. And I do like it, but it's just not as interesting as the time-traveling 12 monkeys. Okay, this brings us to the end of our show today. We'll be back next week, either Sunday or Monday, to review more shows. Until next time, sleep tight. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.